It's Sunday morning, time for the great outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter here on WGN Radio. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoy the upcoming show and hope you had a great Thanksgiving weekend. We're moving into the last day of deer season here in Illinois, and the first season, the number of deer shot in Illinois were slightly higher than last year. About 54,000 deer were taken in the first season in Illinois, and there are about 123,000 deer hunters in the state of Illinois. Deer hunting in America, as many of you know, is big business. It's also in a very, very important conservation tool because deer cause the most number of traffic accidents in America. Over 2 million a year are reported. There are some over 22,000 injuries and some 1,000 fatalities, as I reported last week, to do with deer and car collisions. So not only is the hunting of deer, the harvesting of deer, and provide important meat for lots of individuals, it reduces the number of deer to a manageable level, and that's what deer hunting is all about, managing a population. And it also has a lot to do with agriculture, because deer eat a lot of food, a lot of corn, a lot of soybeans, which is one of the reasons why the Midwest is such a stronghold now for deer. To put things in perspective, Illinois is about 125,000 deer hunters. To put it in perspective, our neighbor to the north, Wisconsin, well, they only have about 791,000. So they're almost seven times the number of deer hunters in Wisconsin as there are in Illinois. And obviously, there are a lot more people in Illinois than there are in Wisconsin. But deer hunting in Wisconsin has been big business for a long time. Wisconsin always ranks in the top states in the country for deer hunting. The number one state for deer hunting in America remains Texas. Texas has had been in that number one position for really a long time, and they continue to be. Pennsylvania is second, and nipping right at Pennsylvania's heels is Wisconsin, and then Minnesota and Michigan round out the top five. Interestingly, New York has almost as many deer hunters as Michigan. You think of New York as being a state that, you know, has so many anti-hunters in it, and that's true of Manhattan and the urban areas, but as a state, there are almost 600,000 people that go deer hunting in New York, and Texas is closing in on, Texas is about 850,000 on the statistics that I've been able to find. So it's huge business in America, and it's very, as I said, very important business in America. And this morning, today will be the last day of the gun season in the state of Illinois, and it's been a good one, particularly due to the weather that we've had, which cold weather always makes deer move more. The past couple of years, we've had rainy deer seasons, we've had warm weather, not good for hunting deer. Very good for hunting deer with the kind of weather we've had now. I've talked in recent weeks about what's going on in Saskatchewan to do with the possibility of non-resident hunter restrictions. And I got a call from a friend of mine in Saskatchewan the other day who had heard the show on it. And he brought up a really interesting point, which I'm going to share with you for just a moment. And that is, as we have fewer and fewer people living on the land, farms are getting larger and larger. And as a result, there are a lot fewer, and I mean a lot fewer individuals, who can offer permission to hunters to hunt. It is not uncommon across areas of the prairies, North Dakota, South Dakota, Manitoba, Saskatchewan, Montana, not uncommon for landowners to own 10, 15,000 acres. Once that would have been 20 or more individual owners, even more. Now that's one owner. So the idea of owning a section, 640 acres, which was the norm, is now doesn't exist. If you own 640 acres, you are not likely in the farming business. You're likely renting your land out. You can't make a living on a section of land. and the prairies. So as there are fewer and fewer landowners who can grant permission, it creates an increasingly difficult situation when landowners, as they are becoming upset with hunters abusing the land, and in the case, most significantly, of outfitters. So the individual who called me from Saskatchewan said, I've heard you talk about this a lot, and you're touching on a lot of the most important issues, but he said, you haven't touched on the fact there really aren't that many landowners to give permission to people to hunt. And as they coalesce together and say, we don't want hunting on our property because of the issues we're having, you eliminate a lot of land in a hurry. So you take 10,000 acres or 15,000 acres off the table in some parts of Saskatchewan, and you've eliminated all hunting in that region. So that's a real risk that we face, and something we've got to be extremely mindful of as we look at how to handle this increasing conflict, frankly, across America, of outfitters and guides replacing the traditional individual coming and knocking on a farm door. It's really the professionalization of hunting that we're seeing that is taking place across America, whether it's deer hunting, turkey hunting, whatever it is, highly efficient operators taking paying clients, but there are fewer landowners to give them permission. And if any of them get upset and decide they don't like it anymore, which is happening because of the amount of pressure and the disrespect, frankly, and it's almost entirely illegal American outfitters in Saskatchewan and Manitoba who are showing such disrespect, we're going to lose that opportunity entirely. So there's a new twist to it. Speaking of another twist before I take a break here, it's not amazing that the government and the states are behind the times. They seldom lead, almost like never, but they do follow. So what is happening across the spectrum in waterfowl hunting is that duck hunters are intentionally taking less than the limit. In the West Coast, Pacific Flyway, the limit is very large, 7 mallards. It's not universal, but it is certainly gaining in popularity. They are now setting their own rules. Clubs are, individuals are, and five, particularly hunting clubs, and five mallard drakes is now what most people are practicing. And they're doing this because the population has declined. They are seeing a decline in hunting opportunity. They are seeing far more adult birds. And so they're reducing the pressure by lowering the limit on themselves. It is amazing to me that this happens time and time again, where individuals who are the leading conservationists take action well before the federal government takes action. The federal government, once again, on the case of waterfowl, is lagging. Hunters are saying, we're not seeing as many birds. Things are not as good as certainly we'd like them to be, and frankly, as is being reported. So we're going to take things into our own hands, and we actually are going to just reduce the limits on ourselves, which is why, by and large, hunters are the greatest conservationists in the world. We are the ones who do the things necessary to preserve populations. And in this case, taking a few less ducks to perhaps enable the population, even if it's only a marginal amount, to enable the population to recover that much faster when the conditions are there. That's what hunters do, and that's why they're sportsmen. I will come back in just a moment with much more on the Great Outdoors Show. And when I do, I am going to talk about bird flu in Illinois and what it means for all the shooting preserves in Illinois. I'm also going to talk about the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and what I'm going to assume is going to become a mandate, which is extremely important for the future of managing lands across America on the Fish and Wildlife Service refuge system. And if I have time, I'll talk about electronics and hunting, an issue that's only increasingly important. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back in just a moment with much more on the Great Outdoors Show. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN, and first a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Hiking, camping, and hunting, it's all an adventure in the great outdoors, but nature can be tough. You need to be ready for anything and everything. Chevy Silverado is built to handle the toughest conditions and get you everywhere you want to go worry-free. Silverado's designed to handle the big jobs. It's built for the great outdoors. With over 13,000 pounds of towing capacity and trailering sway control, Silverado can haul the biggest loads on the roughest roads and keep you cool as a Sunday drive. With 8 available cameras and up to 14 different views, it can spot trouble before it gets to you. That's peace of mind. And when you're ready for the backcountry, Chevy Silverado 1500 ZR2 owns the off-road. You name it, we run over it. No wonder it's Motor Trend's 2023 four-wheeler pickup truck of the year. So see your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and check out a Chevy Silverado. It's freedom to explore the great outdoors.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter here on WGN Radio, and I thank you so much for joining me. As you've all noticed this year, winter came a little bit early, and it came harsh. And it's the first time in really several years that we have had a wholesale really cold late November, early December that has caused migrating birds of all species, from swans to cranes to waterfowl, everything to dump out of the prairies and dump out of the North Country and now, in fact, dump out of the Midwest further south. It's been actually almost a decade since we had this kind of cold weather for this long across really the entire spectrum of the mid and north continent. It has brought an end to the waterfowl season, a premature end in many areas that have been accustomed to running to almost Christmas with wide open water. Not so this year. And it does remind us that Mother Nature is never the same year to year. Migration patterns are not the same. And this year, the door closed early, or the window of opportunity in many places closed early. There are still, of course, some areas with open water in Illinois where there are plenty of waterfowl. But by and large, most areas in Illinois, at least north of St. Louis, are ice skating, and that's true all the way to the Rocky Mountains. I did, as I mentioned, want to talk about bird flu. Well, we have it in Illinois, and we have it in the source of game farm birds at the Department of Natural Resources uses to stock shooting preserves in the state. So the DNR put out a notice the other day saying that they will have fewer birds to release, and there will be areas in the state that are impacted by the fact that they don't have enough birds to release. So hunting opportunity, unfortunately, is going to be dramatically curtailed at several of the most utilized displays, conservation area being among them, the most utilized shooting preserves in the state of Illinois. During COVID, we obviously had big problems with it. We've had problems with bird flu before, but this points out how fragile, frankly, the shooting preserve world is. There are not that many suppliers of volume anymore. McFarland's up in Wisconsin is the largest in the world. I believe they produce over 2 million pheasants. A lot of their gene pool used to come from the preeminent research organization on propagation, that being the Max McGraw Wildlife Foundation, which developed the gene pool and methodologies for raising birds in captivity to best represent birds in the wild. The shooting preserve industry has consolidated. It's very hard to be just an individual raising a few thousand birds and make it. The economies of scale aren't there, and we've seen it across this industry where there used to be hundreds, if not thousands, of individuals propagating birds, part of the Game Bird Association. They'd have big conventions, and today you got a handful of producers producing a very, very large percentage of the birds. And when bird flu hits one of them, you are wiping out a big part of the released bird industry. And that's going to happen, is happening here in Illinois. It has happened across other areas of the state, but we live in Illinois, and this morning I'm talking about Illinois. So there is going to, unfortunately, be reduced opportunity to go pheasant hunting on state lands, some state lands in the state of Illinois. I suggest you go to the Illinois Department of Natural Resources website and see which areas are going to be impacted. But this is a blow from the point of view that game farm released or shooting preserve pheasants are the primary means today in which most people in Illinois utilizing public lands can go hunt pheasants. We just don't have wild bird populations anymore as a result of really significant changes in the landscape. We have very, very limited opportunity for wild birds in Illinois, as is true in almost all the states that once had big pheasant populations. Across the board, their numbers are way down, and it's due primarily to much more efficient agricultural practices, the continued degradation of habitat that would have been good for nesting pheasants is now, you know, under the plow producing grain. So shooting preserves are ever that much more important, but it's bad news for us, and I hope that there is not a further outbreak in it, because certainly that will even further restrict the ability of people in Illinois, those of us who utilize the shooting preserve system, and across the Midwest to be able to do so. In just the moment I have left, I want to just touch for quickly on this discussion of electronics in hunting. Several states are forming task force. Interestingly, task force comprised of hunters, not just individuals who work in the departments of wildlife at states, to discuss what needs to be done, if anything, to stay ahead of the curve of advancing technology. And by the way, they are not ahead of the curve. We're not ahead of the curve at all. We're years behind the curve when it comes to recognizing the impact of electronics across the board in hunting. But the real question at the end of the day is it fair chase? Are we enabling individuals to use things that gives them an unfair advantage and takes away the natural skills required to hunt, whether it be deer hunting or bird hunting or whatever it might be? Are electronics taking away the skills needed that an individual once would have needed to have? Instead, now a computer does it for you, or a camera or something. So that's a big subject to be discussed. Next week, I'm going to talk a little bit about our holiday wish list as we close in on Christmas and the holidays. And also, I'm going to talk about possible management of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service National Refuge System and what could be happening in the coming months as the administration changes. Thanks so much for listening. Hope you have a great and safe week in the great outdoors. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.